call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm finesse.
Yo, and welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the style, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly right here, Joseph Ward, on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where I give you some of the most spectacular sports commentary you're going to get in your life, barbershop style, homeboy style, like when you sit around with your people and y'all talk about sports and y'all keeping it real, but you just so happen to have them couple homeboys who actually know what the stats really is and do their homework. This is how we talk about this thing up in here with the Fix Sports Podcast. If this is your first time listening in, you're in for a treat today, because it's really going down in the South. And I say that because it's really in the South and it's really going down in your mind. If you really don't know, now you know you better ask your big aunts, because they know about it, you know what I'm talking about. So, giving you the greatest sports talk, the greatest sports commentary from a black perspective that you ever got in your world. So, just remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the African History Book Series, the African History Blog Series, the African History Curriculum App, which is available on the website, www.ontheshouldersone.com, the African History online course, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as face-to-face lectures, classroom, educational sessions, keynote sessions, bar mitzvahs, all that stuff. On the Shoulders of Giants can come give you the information that you need face-to-face through the digital mediums. Easy, easy access. All you got to do is visit www.ontheshouldersone.com or www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants. Get your app and be in the know about the stories of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora. You heard me? So I'm doing a little different today, because I got my homeboy, Doc Love, who's going to be riding with me on the Freedom, not the Freedom Train, but the Fix, you know what I'm talking about. So, I'm going to go ahead and get to my HBCU spotlight first, then bring my homeboy, Doc, in, and then we're going to get it in. So, you know, ain't nothing change on how we do our HBCU spotlight, though, you know what I'm talking about, because when we getting down in the field in the side, you know what I'm talking about? We got to do a little something like this. This is time for the HBCU spot. It's ironic that the March 100 is playing that song, because we want to give a shout out to the FAMU Rattler, Lady Rattler tennis team, who won the HBCU Fall Tournament Championship over the weekend of September 15th. And they're not really giving too much information about these ladies and the tournament and who did what, where, when, how, and why, and all that things. That all I know is they won the Fall Tournament Championship over that weekend of September 15th. And they the winners. Fangs up. Hashtag FAMU. Hashtag strike, strike, strike again. Hashtag we are FAMU. Hashtag FAMULY. Hashtag building champions. Hashtag legends are born here. Hashtag Rattlers. Hashtag we bleed orange and green. Hashtag I wish it was more information in this article, but it really ain't. So, but that's what it is, though. So with that being said, I want everybody to get up off your feet, right? Put your hands together and clap like you ain't never clapped before for these ladies for winning that fall championship on that tennis court. You heard me?
Oh, my goodness. They won the team.
All right, now, ladies, because, you know, got to show love to everybody that's out here doing these things. You know, when we talk about sports, it ain't just one sport. It ain't just two sports. It's as many sports as possible. But guess what, though? There is, and that, my people, is our HBCU spotlight. So, what I'm finna do now is I'm finna bring my homeboy, my brother on the line, straight from Dallas, Texas. That dot love, what it be like, huh?
Hey, man, I'm in here, man. What's good, brother?
Man, you know how I do. See, for y'all who don't know, I bring his name up quite often because he be in a lot of the stories, especially the high school football stories. So, and we be talking about sports and stuff. So I decided, hey, man, why don't you come and rock with me? I've been trying to get him on the show for a little minute, but we got him. So come rock with me on the fifth, man. So I appreciate you rocking with me, man.
Hey, man, the pleasure's all mine, my boy. I appreciate the invite.
Man, you know how we do, man. I just want to make sure that people understand why we do what we do and what and where it all come from and how it all start. So,
For sure.
Appreciate you rocking with me. So, I'm going to do it a little different because usually I just have a guest for a couple segments, but Doc going to go ahead and rock with me for the whole rest of the episode. So y'all make sure y'all dig your heels in. And, hey, man, so before we get it in, give them a little rundown about yourself and what you do and how people can contact you and support you on social media.
Okay. As my brother from another mother said, I'm Doc. You probably will hear a lot of my name come up in these stories, probably some favorable, some not so favorable. But in any regard, I'm Doc Love. I'm from Tallahassee, Florida, just like my brother. I've known Joe since, how long we known each other, bro? Since ninth grade.
Yep, since about 98.
Ninth grade. Yes, it's 98. We started playing football together.
What the hell?
Man, we started playing football together, and man, we've been like we connected immediately, instantly. I think he probably the first person I connected with at Rickard that I did not know, and we've been rocking with ever since. So, but yeah, man, I'm on social media, DocLove850, on all platforms. I'm easy to find. I ain't nobody, man.
You tell him about the panty draws.
Hey, man, hey, Ellery Intimate, man, coming live. Yes, I am the owner of a lingerie and women's sportswear line. Still in production right now, still in and taking out baby steps right now, but you can follow us on social media, Ellery Intimates, ELORREE Intimates. That's on Instagram. I think that's all I'm running right now. So, Ellery Intimates, man, it's on the way. Stay tuned.
Cool. So, appreciate that. Just want to make sure people know where to be able to follow you, support you, and all the things there, because there's a whole lot of people listening to this. So, go ahead and y'all check them out.
I appreciate it.
Hey, man, you know how we do, man. You got to do it right, man. So, quick rundown on these topics and stuff that we're getting in, because we're going in. That's why I got them in there, because we're finna go in. So, Tim Tebow, first topic we're going in is, Tim Tebow don't think that NCAA players should be able to profit off their names and likeness. Because, you know, he had this whole segment on game day, and then he did the thing with Stephen A. and them. So, I'm talking about that. And I'm talking about Jay-Z and giving money to the Crushers Club up there in Chicago, and what the Crushers Club have been doing and how the communities in Chicago feel about that. Wanted to bring you up today on Tyson Fury's latest fight. He just fought over this past weekend, so give you a update on that. Bring it back to the topic of how can we get black college athletes to attend HBCUs? That needs to be talked about from a real intellectual standpoint and a strategic standpoint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson says he smoked weed after every game to avoid the opioids. That's interesting. I'll give you an update on week 3 of college football. Give you an update on week 2 of the NFL. Because, you know, the week don't end until after Monday Night Football, right? So, give you a quick update on Joe Johnson was signed by the Detroit Pistons out of the Big 3. So, he was the MVP of the Big 3. And, you know, I brought everybody up to speed on what was going on in the Big 3 with championship games and everything. You know, Joe Johnson's the MVP. He balled out the whole season. And he was picked up within a one-year deal by the Detroit Pistons. So that's good luck for Joe Johnson. That's a good look for the Pistons. So there was a black high school swimmer who was disqualified over a swimsuit that was issued by the school. The weekly rant has two parts. One... A former NFL player, he fakes a hate crime. He pulled a Jesse Smollett. So we got to let his ass have it. and then the second one is Antonio Brown is cut from the Patriots for contacting a new accuser, sexual assault accuser, after being instructed not to contact the accuser. He contacted her anyway, so his ass got cut, man, so. We got to talk real about Antonio. So, but let's get on Tebow's ass first.
Man, please.
Because I just want to read this so we can get some perspective on what the California Assembly is and basically what Tebow was commenting on. Because basically, the California Assembly has passed legislation to let student athletes make money setting up a confrontation with the college sports governing body, the NCAA, that could jeopardize the athletes' future of programs and sporting powerhouses in the state of California, you know, USC, UCLA, Stanford. The bill would let college athletes hire agents and be paid for the use of their name, image, likeness. I'm going to say that again. The bill would allow college athletes to hire agents and be paid for the use of the name, image, and likeness. So I want to read that part, get that part in there, like, for the use of their name, image, and likeness. So, and Tim Tebow's argument.
That's important.
Right, because you listen to his argument, right?
Yeah.
So, in his argument, the way he was stating his point, it was coming from a standpoint of the colleges will be directly paying the players. And I thought that was a flaw, but also just the overall fake-ass passion and the dumb-ass shit that he had going on with that. It's like, when you first saw that, what were some of the thoughts that was going through your mind with that?
First of all, I was like, Tebow, come down. Come off of it, first of all. Like,
breathe,
man. He was passionate like whatever game that was he lost in college, and he came
that
with that speech. Yeah,
that weekend.
I'm like Tebow, bro. Come off of it, bro. Listen, it's don't sweat it. Don't raise your blood pressure, bro. Come off of it. That's my first thought. I'm like, you're not about to go play Florida State, calm down a little bit. We're talking about something totally different. That was my initial thought. But, like, once I got into what, you know, what he was saying, I was like, he sounds a little crazy to me. To me, you know what I mean? Because when you go into talking about, he was like, I knew what I was getting myself into when I went to college to play college ball. And you knew, you know, I mean, pretty much saying, like, you go to college and play whatever sport you appointed to and just get paid. You just get whatever tuition they pay for whatever, and that's what you went for. Okay.
Right.
Fair enough. But here's the reality. If you say that, and then what we just said, your name, your image, and your likeness. I ain't signed up for y'all to make millions and trillions off of that. And so you're telling me I can't get anything off of that? Exactly.
But
so no.
And see, that's what threw me off is like the passion that he had for saying, well, this should happen. But also, I felt like you're not even really. I don't know how informed he is on this, how much he read, because the way he was arguing, it was, you know, like I said, as if the universities themselves would be paying the players. And that's not what's going on here. It's, first of all, you can't be mad that your generation and generations above that didn't understand the business of the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
So these younger players have more exposure to a lot more information, and they understand the business of things that's going on. They understand the millions of dollars that's floating through this. But also, this is not even going to affect the money. That's the thing. This is not even going to affect the money. It's not going to if all the states adopt this, this will make it an even playing field, because I do get it that it could tilt the balance of favor into the California schools, because hell, I would rather go play at USC, UCLA, Stanford, Cal, or something like that, where I know I can make money off myself, especially if I'm a character. So, but I do get that, but that's why I think all the states should adopt that shit. But it's like, it's not even going to affect the money. It's not going to affect the integrity of the game, because that's one of his arguments about the integrity of the game. And it's like, the NCAA ain't got no goddamn integrity. What the hell did you talk about?
Right. I mean, and when he said that, when he was like, well, people watch college football because of the passion, XYZ, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, well, listen, bro, like, they also, I mean, you got a lot of guys also, they might be out there playing passionate, but they also got family members and, you know, stuff back home who's struggling to keep the lights on. You know what I mean? So if you're going to use my likeness and went in or whatever, at least help me help mine. I've always, like, we've had this conversation for years that we felt like collegiate players should be paid. So, I mean, his argument to me is based on where he's standing at now. You know what I mean? It's easy to say that as a wealthy ex-NFL player, you know what I mean? Whatever. I mean, he done been in everything else, so it's easy to say that where he is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and even his, I think his viewpoint was skewed even when he was college football player, because it's not like he came from a poor family, a poor background.
Right. So it's easy to have that argument.
Right, but even, you know, Steven Jackson made a point, I don't know how true it is, and nobody knows, but let's say Tebow was paid. Because we know, especially Florida. We know about Florida and the bullshit that they be doing, right? So
let's say
Tebow was paid to play at Florida. So, and let's say we find that out, that null and voids a lot of his argument, that null and voids all of his argument, and that would taint his image. But I doubt that he wasn't paid something.
I don't know.
It's some business.
But I don't know, but it ain't outside the realm of possibility. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, it's like, that's what I was saying, like, the passion he had with him, like, I don't know, bro, like, I think, like you said, his viewpoint is skewed to me. I'm like, it's easy to say that. Like you said, you know, I don't know Tebow's background to be that or something that he had to struggle, like he struggled come from a struggling poor family and nothing like that.
Nah, he didn't. He came from rich Jacksonville area. Like, you homeschooled and, you know, all that stuff there. Not saying that just because you homeschooled that you're rich, but
he came
from a wealthy family.
Right.
It ain't hurting. It ain't like he came from my house.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, No, I didn't rock with nothing he was saying, to be perfectly honest with you. So
yeah,
that's how you feel, no doubt.
Yeah, I thought the passion, like all that vigor he was putting in there, I just thought that was it wasn't
what
needed.
Was sure.
It was too much. He was putting on, and he was telling. Yeah, at this point, you're selling out too. You're selling out these players. You're selling out the intelligence of these players. You're selling out the information that these players got access to. You're treating it as if these players are the problem, and they're going to ruin the whole culture of college football. Like, and when he was talking about, well, you know, people like college football, I'm like, look, people do like college football, but let's not forget, the NFL is king. When you're doing your comparison,
the NFL
is king. That's why you bust your ass to get to the league, Tebow. That's why the NFL is America's number one sport. College football is number two. But guess who's number one? So, you know, pay these boys. Not even pay them. Let these athletes be able to earn off their likeness, name, and image. Why not?
Yeah. Now, I forget who I was listening. I forget which commentator it was. It was like, well, look at it, you know, and speaking about Tim Tebow, who was heralded as Jesus in cleats, you know what I mean? They've tried everything to make Tebow pretty much a superstar. They tried to put him as, you know what I mean? He played how many teams, and they were trying to move him from every position, but he wanted to be a quarterback. He was,
man,
I'm going to be a quarterback. And then when he finally stepped away from football, they went to, oh, well, you know, he could be an MLB player. He could be a professional baseball player. And he went down there and stunk it up. And it's like, well, he's speaking, he's a privileged guy. You know what I mean? So he's speaking from that area. You know what I mean? So his thought process is going to be that passion come off is, I hate to say it, he just come off like, all right, well, if you didn't do it like I do it, or you don't think like I think in terms of collegiate athlete.
Right, that's
probably,
exactly
you're not thinking right.
It's exactly how it's coming off, because it's like you're right though. They've been trying to make something out of Tebow for a while, as far as a legitimate star or a legitimate something with this. You know, he didn't make it in the NFL. Baseball, he ain't really that. But it's just like this bravado or this air that, like you say, if you don't do it my way, then you're wrong. There's something wrong with you, because why wouldn't you do it my way? Why aren't you thinking like me? You know, I'm a wealthy middle class white man.
Mm-hmm. And then he put it out when he was like, well, when I was at Florida, you know, he was like, my jersey was the number one selling jersey in all of college football. I was like, yeah, and he's like, I didn't want any money from it. Well, guess what, brother? That's you,
right?
If my If my jersey was the number one selling jersey in collegiate sports, guess what? I need a little bit of that.
I want some money, bitch. Like, you ain't, but it's not, bitch, you ain't the standard. Sit your ass down, man. Fake ass.
That's just it.
Fake ass John the Baptist.
That's just it, bro.
Sit your ass down.
But see, that's just it, bro. Like, he's coming from a viewpoint that, you know, if you're not thinking like Tebow, is like, I don't understand the thought process. Like, you use my name, my image, my likeness to make money off of me, and I can't want some of that? Man,
Pay me. Like, at least let me earn. That's what I keep saying on this podcast. At least let me earn my own stuff. Like, don't do me like you ain't going to let me earn. At least let me earn my own stuff. Like, if you ain't let me earn, then you trip.
Man, I look at a lot of them guys, and, you know, we've seen it timeless, you know, time and time again. Them guys go out there and risk limb and life, man. Boys
they
go
do.
Out there and get paralyzed for life. And that's on, I mean, you understand the risk when you play in this sport. But, you know, what good is it to just the tuition after I break my neck out here? You know, I didn't make no money. You know, I'm going to need around-the-clock medical care. And trust me, the money I made from the money I got on tuition ain't gonna help.
No, it's not. But it's not. It's not even a true even exchange. if you think about it, especially at certain schools with the type of money that you're bringing into the school, it's not even real easy change, because if Nick Saban can stand to make $10 million a year, that means they've got the Alabama players bringing in a hell of an amount of money at these games.
I was just about to say, let's not even talk about what the coaches bring in. That's a whole nother conversation. That's crazy.
It's a lot of unfair shit that's going on with it. Let's just call it what it is. It's a lot of double standards in this when it comes to it. It's a lot of greed, capitalism, all these things here. And these schools keep complaining about the NCAA. Succeed from the NCAA. The NCAA need the schools. Schools don't need the NCAA.
Bingo. That's the truth. And the schools need the athletes.
Right. Right. But yeah, man, we ain't gonna beat that dead horse to death. But Tim Tebow, be your ass quiet, boy.
Get alone, man. What are you talking about?
Hey, man. So, what? When you heard about, you know, when we heard about the partnership with Jay-Z in the NFL, you know me. I'm skeptical of it, more so on the NFL side. But looking at, you know, you and I had a discussion about it with Jay-Z partnering with the NFL and what it could possibly do. You know, looking at both pros and cons and doing what ifs on both sides. You know, like really having a real conversation, like something tangible. This has the makings and the ability for something tangible to happen. But will something tangible actually happen? So. You know, me, I'm skeptical mostly on the side of the NFL of something tangible actually happening. But one thing that we did find out after some time passed is one of the organizations that Jay-Z and the NFL has given money to, I think like $200,000 to $400,000 to an organization out of Chicago called the Crushers Club, who were ran by a lot of white women, who a lot of the missions is to change black males' image as far as their appearance and teaching the certain things that they're teaching them. Now, according to activists that I've seen videos and read some things from activists from Chicago, the Crushers Club has been problematic in the areas. I think most of the South Side of Chicago has been problematic because basically the viewpoint, not sugarcoating it, basically they're brainwashing young black males to operate as young white males in the public, in the society, saying basically this is what you need to do to be successful. Don't think and operate and you know, embrace your culture. Don't come from that black standpoint. Come from this standpoint of what more of a white male would do. So, did you hear about this? And when you heard about this, what you was thinking, man?
initially, when you and I talked about it initially. Like I said, when it first came out that Jay-Z had partnered with the NFL, I was like, well, I didn't think that we had enough information to make a valid or to go forward enough and, you know, come with any kind of response to it. Like, I couldn't feel any kind of way, really, to be perfectly honest with you. It was really like, okay, let's see what comes from this. Let's see what the plan is. Now, once we saw the Crushers Club thing come out, and we saw a lot of the things, like you said, they were trying to change the correlation with the first thing I saw was the correlation they had with men, black boys, and their hairstyles, and they were cutting their dreadlocks, their locks, and saying they about how they've been ostracized for like their hairstyles and stuff like that, and the correlation for them to, like you said, their hairstyles, not being able to live in society and say, okay, well, I can't be this person in society with locks and not have this outside stigma attached to me. I thought that was weird. I thought it was very weird. First, like you said, not being able to embrace your culture based off what you feel like what it should be in correlation to that of anything outside of your own culture, you know what I mean? I thought that was weird.
Right.
And so I'm like, and this is who we partner with? Maybe I don't know enough. Then I saw the young man. He was like, you know, give the lady. I forget the lady's name.
Yeah,
the lady
got
that's
name.
Over the crush club. You know what I'm talking about? But he was give her a chance. Okay, but I know he had sent a message to Ava, because I know Ava was kind of spoke out. Ava DuVernay, she had spoke out about it.
Right.
And he was like, no, I'll give her a chance. You know, she just wants better for us, X, Y, Z. But I was like, you can want better for somebody and not have to try to change their appearance.
Right, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Sally Hazelgrove is her name.
Okay. Sally, you out of here. But anyway.
Right.
it's like, you don't have to change my appearance to want better for me. You know what I mean? I'm not saying your appearance doesn't have anything to do with it in some facet, but I feel like that a lot of what she was trying to do had to do based solely off of appearance.
Because
you know
if we can agree that me expressing myself culturally would be a problem in society, so instead of making me change, why not go change society? Why not use your white privilege and the leverage that you have to go make other white people stop being racist? Like, because that's the real problem if we're going to be real about it. Like, it ain't the locks that's coming out the man's head. It's the racism that's going to come because he has the locks coming out of his head. So why is it that?
I think you're giving her too much credit. I feel like you give her too much credit to expect that from them. You know what I'm saying?
I get you. I get where you're coming from. I'm just, you know, thinking like that would be better to do. Now I do agree.
Yeah.
Like I don't think she would. That's not her. That's not clearly that's
no.
not her. Because hell, look at what they're doing.
Exactly. They want your image. They want pretty much. They want to make you comfortable for them.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? I want your appearance. I don't want your appearance to be. I don't want to feel uncomfortable around you based off of what I see.
Exactly.
So forget. You know what I mean? Forget your culture. I want to make what I see. I want your appearance to make me comfortable.
And see, that make J-Num look bad, though, being able that you involved in giving money to this organization, this specific organization with this specific mission that they have, with this mindset that they're instilling to these young black men. It's, you know, it's one strike into the con category, because we're looking at the both pros and cons of what's going on with this in the NFL. And you can be optimistic, you could be skeptical, you could be, you can have whatever viewpoint you want, but we have to keep score. I would just say we have to keep score. So one in the con category. So we need to look for. We found the con. We need to look for pros. So give it a legitimate chance. But like I said, I don't trust the NFL. But this is a red flag. So.
I don't think you should trust them, bro. I don't think what have they given us to think anything else, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I know you made a statement some time ago, like, and when we were talking about it initially, and you were like, well, do we expect the NFL to stop violence on police brutality on black men? Like, that's not what this is about. Like,
yeah.
Because initially when you see it, that's what everybody go to. That's the first thing they go to, is like, the NFL ain't in the social justice business. That's not
right.
them.
Right. So if they're not in the social justice business, we really expect them to make social justice change just because they linked up with Jay-Z?
Hey, man, that's a whole nother deal, man. It's you know, that's to prevent some type of fallout for them.
Right.
Let's see who I can stand next to that they'll come around. Who they like the most? Who goes to stand next to Jay-Z?
They understand Jay-Z's influence on the people who follow Jay-Z to that point, because Jay-Z has said certain things and canceled some trends and all these same things here, but I do think we're in a different day and time, and you have a lot of people who still follow him, but a lot of people now, just looking at stuff through social media, through the different realms, like yeah. I would say, like Instagram and especially YouTube, is people like, hold up, bitch, hell nah, nope, this shit sounds stupid, you look stupid, and we ain't falling for it. Now, you do have the fans who like, y'all just hating on Jay-Z. Nah, we're taking a critical analysis of what's going on around us, and shit just don't look good. And this partnership with the NFL, to me, ain't going to do no social justice change, because that ain't what the NFL is about.
No, not at all. And like you said, well, you do have to give it time, but you also, like you said, objectively, you got to be like, all right, whether it's Jay-Z or whoever they stand next to, what is the goal? What is the plan? What is this about? You know, we saw the clip, we saw the conference, the meeting, or whatever they had. We saw bits and pieces of it, and then like, so what next? So
right.
What next? What's
right,
the plan?
Right, because it's been a long time, and we ain't got no next yet. It's been a good
what's
month.
Next?
It's been at least a good
right.
month. We ain't got no next. But y'all can tell us
what
y'all
next?
Doing with the damn music.
Man, come on. That right there, I was like, okay, so y'all going to let him do the halftime show, coordinate the halftime show and all this? Okay, so what does that mean? Like, if it's like you said, bro, if it's a business move, it's a business move. Handle your business. I'm not telling a man don't handle business, but let's not dress it up. Let's not dress it up and say it's something else.
Right. Exactly. Let's be real.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like people going to rock with you anyway. So just be upfront with it, man. Look, I took this opportunity to capitalize off getting some money from the NFL rather than we finna make social change, because we know goddamn well.
Right. And guess what I'm going to say, bro? Do your thing, Jay. Do your thing. If it's a business move, y'all doing music, you go
right.
out there doing Titan Time, do it. Do that.
I want you to make change.
Make change.
But don't try to pee on me and tell me it's raining.
Bro, that's why, like we said, you can't get too excited about it. You know, I think a lot of people got their hopes up about it, you know. And not to say you shouldn't, you know what I mean, because maybe something great does come out of it. But, you know, you still got to kind of keep your antennas up, like, what y'all got going on? You know what I mean?
You got to. All right, man. So, hey, but check this out, though. Somebody got their ass whooped last Saturday night. Hey, man.
Hey,
so how deep you been in the boxing? You been keeping up with it?
Man, honestly, bro, the last fight I watched was Anthony Joshua get washed. That was the last fight I seen.
Yeah, by that bad body boy.
Oh man. That's the last fight I saw, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched this little clip saying that, but I haven't been watching it like that, man.
Man, I've been keeping up with it for the show. I've been watching it a little more, not really into it, but keeping up with it for the show so I can speak on big fights, because Errol Spence got a fight coming up this weekend. I forgot who he's fighting.
That's
right.
Porter.
Right. So stuff like that, like him and Crawford and Lomachenko, because I want to see like Spence and Lomachenko, Crawford and Lomachenko fight.
Woo-hoo.
But big ass Tyson Fury had a fight the other week, and he beat the boy ass. He took down previously undefeated Otto Waylon in the heavyweight boxing. It was on last Saturday, so it was a 12 round bout and a unanimous decision, despite Fury suffering a serious cut above his eye early in the fight. With the victory, you know, Fury goes to, his record is now 29-0-1, and you know he had that one draw against Wilder. So this is good and bad for the heavyweight, because the heavyweight division, man, it ain't they trying to get it there, but. And a lot of people keep hearing a lot of people saying the heavyweight division is better, is back. You think the shit back?
No, negative.
Right.
Hey, listen. Listen, man. We grew up when the heavyweight was like, if a heavyweight fight, championship fight came up, everything stopped.
Everything.
Everything stopped. Man, the heavyweight fight come on now, but I couldn't tell you who the champion was.
A heavyweight fight now can't stop time and people, even when it's not football season, B.
Man, come on, man. So, when I watched Wilder and Fury was the draw, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I watched that fight. I did watch that fight. Fury was the number one contender, correct?
Yeah. Because you know Wilder still got that belt.
Listen, man. If that is the definition of heavyweight being back, I'm good. I'm good, Coach. I'm good.
Well, Joshua,
it was hyping up Joshua and Wilder, and Joshua got knocked out. I'm good.
Well, see, that's the thing though. Like that kind of tripped me out about this is. Wow, Joshua beat Fury ass twice.
Mm-hmm.
He like when you sit down and you look at Joshua, you like Joshua can fight. Joshua can legitimately box. He bad, but then he go lose to fight the old boy that looked like he just got through working on his car, and it's like
he wasn't ready. He wasn't. You could tell he didn't take that fight serious.
He didn't.
He didn't take it serious. I do remember him saying that, and I remember a lot of. I think Max was saying he kind of felt he was like he wasn't surprised that Joshua lost. I think it was Max. He was like Max Kellerman. He was like, I'm not surprised he lost because I don't think he was prepared for it. I don't think he prepared for it. And the guy that he lost to, they was like he ain't no chump. He just
built fast. He got hands. Yeah. I think Ruiz was his last name, but he got legitimate. But he got legitimate hands, but yeah. But I agree though. I agree that Joshua was looking ahead to the Wilder fight, and he ain't take Ruiz serious.
Yeah, and that's the easy way to get whooped, boy. That's the easy way to get whooped.
Right, right. So I mean, I don't. That's why I'm saying like the heavyweight division, man. It's not. If anybody says back, I'm looking at them like back. Well. Because
back where is the question?
Because I mean, especially with this Joshua loss, it dampens the Wilder Joshua fight. It makes more of a. I would actually look more forward to a Fury Wilder fight right now than the Wilder Joshua, because Joshua got to go back and beat Ruiz again. He got to go fight him, and he got to actually beat him.
Yeah, so it's definitely that matchup has definitely lost its luster just off the strength of, you know, that loss.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it kind of like, come on, man. Like, goddamn, Anthony.
It was just like when Pacquiao lost before he fought Floyd.
Yeah.
Remember he got knocked out?
Yeah.
And then the fight kind of lost its luster, and the fight was already – how many years too late, but then Pacquiao got knocked out. So now you talk about Joshua that got knocked out. I don't think Wilder I don't even think Wilder want that fight like that anyway now.
Well, I mean, if I'm Wilder, I have the upper hand now because Joshua had the leverage before the fight, before the loss, before his loss to Ruiz. He had the leverage because he got four belts. He got the better record. But now Wilder holds the upper hand because, yeah, he had a draw, but he ain't never been beat, and he's a bigger draw now.
Yeah.
Definitely a bigger draw now that Joshua has lost to old boy. So it's just the optics, and not to throw no dirt on Ruiz, but it's just the optics of, you really lost to this buddy? So.
Yeah. Has he fought since then? Ruiz.
Joshua? Ruiz? I'm not sure.
Okay.
So, but yeah, man.
No, it ain't back for me, bro. I'ma just keep it real. I ain't I ain't into it like that. Not like so, that. I mean, I'll watch the fights, but they're not heavyweight.
So let me ask this, and before we move on to talk about black college athletes going to HBCUs, so we're hearing the rumblings about Pacquiao Floyd. Is it something that piqued your interest, or is some hot trash shit that need to go away?
Bro, they're like 55 years old, bro. Like, them boys ain't gonna hang it. Them boys ain't gonna hang it up, bro. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm gonna watch it. If they fight, I'm watching. But, I mean, if they get in lost his luster now, for me anyway, I'm gonna watch it off of the strength of the names alone. But, you know, them boys getting on up in age, I think they done proved all they need to prove. Like, If Pacquiao beat Floyd at this point, they're going to be like, well, Floyd been retired for how long, you know, and Pacquiao been fighting. But what risk is it for Floyd to go back and lose his undefeated record? Like,
I wouldn't fight him. I wouldn't fight him again. Like, I mean, shit, I'm retired. Like,
I don't think Floyd's thinking about no fighting, man.
Yeah,
me
like,
personally, I think Floyd is getting to the money. Yeah.
And like, so what, bitch? I'm
right. Nah, I don't know, man. For me, I'll watch it. Am I like, oh, nah.
I'll watch that bit the next morning on Daily Motion. Unless somebody else want to invite me to the house. Yeah, because, I mean, I wouldn't pay for it. I definitely wouldn't get my money on that. Nope.
No, man.
Hello.
Good on that, boy. We saw the fight. We saw the fight the first time. It was good for what it was. I didn't take nothing from it, but I was more entertained by Floyd and the MMA dude.
Yeah, man, that was bullshit. Like
that was more entertained by
MMA. With Conor McGregor than the fight with the Taekwondo dude from Korea. Like, come on, man. Like Floyd, you done. Sit your head down, man.
Floyd just went and got that money.
Right. That bitch still want to come in number one, the highest paid athletes. But, like, dog, just do some other shit. You'll manage your money better. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good on them. I'm good on them, boy.
Right. Watch that bit on a bootleg, bitch. Five stick.
I'm straight.
Hey, man, so, you know, I've been talking about this topic for a while, about black college athletes, especially football players, but, you know, mainly football players, basketball players, baseball players, attending HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ideal. It'll be ideal to have those players attending HBCU, but we're looking at it from a realistic standpoint. And not saying that you and I have to come up with an action plan right here. But
mm-hmm.
How do you think, or what do you think needs to happen realistically to get the top black college athletes to play at HBCU?
Exposure.
Okay.
Like, they don't get, first of all, black HBCUs don't get enough exposure when it comes to mainstream media, right? So, generally, mainstream media, that translates to dollars. When you're talking about getting a look from the NFL or whatever sport you're in, It translates to being exposed to the next level. And as an athlete, you always want to go to the next level. A lot of the HBCUs don't get that exposure. So for a lot of those athletes, they want to go somewhere where the optics are. You can see a lot of those guys, they go to, you know, whatever big colleges they get accepted to because they can get exposure. And you know from personal experience, A lot of times, one of the first things the coaches will tell you when they come visit you in high school is like, "I'm gonna help you get to the next level. I'll help you get to the next level." And what that does, too, is, you know, being in connection with larger universities, you have more connects. You have more opportunities to be seen by the masses, and that creates a buzz. Hey, man, you saw so-and-so-and-so on ESPN or ABC or all these major networks. I literally was watching the FAMU game. You know, if you ain't got ESPN3 or
yes,
any of those extra networks, you can't see it.
All right, so let me. All right, with that being said, even though the them being televised is limited, very limited,
very
so,
limited.
I would say FAMU, maybe on the fringe, but FAMU, Prairie View A&M, North Carolina A&T, Hampton, Howard, Southern, Grambling. Maybe Tuskegee, I don't know, but teams like that. And I say like Prairie View and A&T because they got facilities and things like that. But do you think those schools like that, because they are the more well-known HBCUs, the more, especially in when it comes to football and stuff, the more successful HBCUs, do you think those schools are more ready to receive top-tier athletes? And if so, why? If why not? If not, why?
Honestly, Rob, I think they are. I think they all are. You know, prime example. I was happy to see when DeAndre Francois left Florida State. Well, not left. Well, you know, when he was dismissed from the team, he ended up going to Hampton. And I mean, I was proud of that move. I was like, man, you know, you're talking about a premier. Athlete come from a top, like one of the top five schools, whatever, you know, to go to a HBCU. That was a good look. Even back in the day when we had Casey Prentice come from TCU, he was a Heisman hopeful and went to Florida A&M. So yeah. I think all of those schools are ready. I don't think it's the schools. I think it's I don't know how often – I know a lot of those guys get offered by the HBCUs, but I don't think they're exposed enough to the HBCUs in terms of, like, their visits, you know, when they go on their visits and stuff like that. I think a lot of that, kind of go hand in hand.
Well, as far as facilities, I don't think FAMU is ready. FAMU facilities look the same since we was in elementary school.
Go ahead, bro.
Well, because you know facilities make a big difference, a huge difference. That's one of the reasons why A&T is dominating the MEAC like they are, because they got the facilities. And then we know Prairie View A&M, when Willie Simmons was the coach, was able to greatly update the facilities. Now that is something that Willie's working on here at FAMU, so I have to be fair in that. But I do think FAMU would be at the bottom of the list because of facilities.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought about that too. But here, let me ask you this: I don't necessarily feel like the kids go to the schools based solely off of the facilities, but I also feel like that is a contributing factor. They have to be exposed. Like the teams got to be exposed to something to start. Like they got to have the athletes. They got to get the wins. They got to have the alumni contributing. Yeah. All of that stuff got to kind of go in hand in hand so the facilities can get better. Now.
Well, all of that, the community, alumni, boosters, all these things contributing, school bringing them. There's a lot of things that go, you know, really go into that with facilities being better. But we're talking realistic. We're talking right now. Like, A&T will probably be at the top of the list of school that's ready to take on like five or six top tier athletes and do something, because hell, they're already doing something. They've been doing something.
Yeah, so. But I think also too, bro, you kind of look at it like, you know, if we're talking about like the athletes, like the black athletes going to HBCUs. You know, we'll get A&T, their facilities, or you say they up to par. But, you know, I don't feel like if we just getting, you know, like some guys that never got no offers, guys that who probably barely even played, you know, just walking on to the school and they get offers like that, it's going to be hard to put your school in a position to start winning. First of all, you got to be winning. I don't want to go nowhere losing.
Yeah,
I don't care what
Yeah, but see, that's why I'm saying A&T would be at the top of the list because they actually winning.
Yeah. But see, I agree with you. I agree with you. But even for the schools who may not be facility ready, they're still at something has to draw the athlete to be like, all right, maybe our facilities ain't this. But, you know,
right.
Let's look at it a little deeper. Okay, the culture here. We got something we can offer you that going to Ole Miss ain't gonna give you. Me and you were just talking, like, you know, I think the best thing I ever did in my life was go to fam. Like, I talked to so many people now, and they're like, man, they wish they had that opportunity to go to HBCU. And you talk about those athletes, man. If it's one thing to say, okay, I went to Alabama, had state-of-the-art technology in our facilities. Okay, so what else did that do for you? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Yeah, that's a part of it. Going back to what you originally said, too, as I was saying about facilities, though, or even about winning with A&T, with winning, exposure, though, because how many people know, like, 2 years in a row, like, A&T dominating this shit? But that's different from knowing that Clemson and Alabama dominating this shit. That's different from seeing LSU, Auburn, and Alabama, their offenses drastically improve over the last 2-3 years because of exposure.
And that's why I'm saying that exposure mean a lot, you know, especially
it does. It helps a lot. Lack of it hurts a lot. I think that's one thing, but it's the main thing. It's like we said, I think we need to, like, well, black colleges need to have the atmosphere that when these players see it, they like, this could get me to the next level.
Yeah.
No, at the end of the day,
yeah.
if you can't get somebody at the next level to the end of the day, it's not the same. And not to say that you can't get to the next level going to HBCU, but I have a better chance of going to the league. Like, if my choices are Grambling in Alabama, you know, 9 times out of 10, especially nowadays, Grambling gonna lose.
Yeah. And I would like to hear personally from them, like from like a top tier athlete, you know, 5-star recruit coming out, like, why wouldn't you even consider that? If it was something they wouldn't consider, why not? If it's not exposure, what else is it? Like, what else would be a contributing factor to you not going to an HBCU?
Yeah. I'm with you. I want them to articulate that to me. Just kind of understand. I don't have to agree or disagree, but just kind of understand where you come from when you make your choice to go to this school over that other school. Because, like, I forgot the young man's name, but he was a recruit. He was, like, the top recruit that was coming out, and he actually did visit family. What's his name?
I know who you're talking about. I saw it on I think it was on HBCU, and they showcased it on HBCU Week.
Yeah, so because he came to fam, big ass young boy.
Yeah,
but ultimately he went to a white school.
Okay.
So, but also I don't want HBCUs to fall in love with moral victories either.
Oh man, for sure. If you're going to go, I want that to be the reason. I want you wanting to go to be the reason you go.
Right.
I wanted to go here.
Yeah. Don't be pump faking this now. If you ain't gonna fuck with us really like that, then go on about your business. Don't be with the bullshit now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Make the best choice for you. That's what I say in the end.
Yeah.
You know, I would love a lot of those athletes start going to the HBCUs for sure, you know, like, because that does, you know, I mean, I remember seeing when we started seeing them in the Big Dance, you know what I mean? And, you know, when when FAMU went to the Big Dance years ago, I loved it, you know what I mean? And that's right. Exposure. That's exposure right there.
Straight up. Nah, that's real though. I mean, it just it's a layered question. Like I said, wasn't asking for you or for us to come up with an answer to this now, but just kind of put some thoughts on the table of things that can be done to get the top black high school athletes to come to HBCUs, because that could really change the landscape. You know, Laura Ingram, her bitch ass, she had a problem with it. She had he used to play in the NFL, and she had him on her show, and she thought that he was going to agree with her point, disagreeing with Jemele Hill about getting black athletes, because isn't this reverse segregation? And it's like, well, you know, segregation, it's nothing really wrong with segregation. It's the separate but unequal that's really wrong, isn't it? But, you know, remember that white schools only started really going after black athletes when they found out that a team full of black athletes could beat the shit out of a team full of white athletes.
Oh, man. Come on, bro.
So just remember that. And remember that in the state of Florida, FAMU was the first school to win a national championship. So a real, real national championship.
So, right.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, talk a little more football. So Calvin Johnson came. He's been up in the media a little bit talking about his experience in the league, right? And why he retired early, and basically also talking about him smoking weed. So, you know, I was like, okay, we got some weed smoke in the air. But not just the smoking of the weed, but the weed, smoking of the weed to avoid taking the opioids that would be offered to you. Because if you're not aware, you know, the NFL has a partnership. I forgot. I don't want to do the total wrong quote because it was a show probably a year or two ago. But the NFL has a kind of partnership with some of these big pharma as far as some of these pills and stuff that get shipped to these teams. So let me read some of this article and then we can go in on it. So it says, Detroit Lions legend Calvin Johnson said he smoked marijuana after every game of his NFL career to avoid the rampant abuse of opioids in the league. Johnson told Michael Rosenberg of Sports Illustrated in an interview released Friday that he used pot as a healing drug each week, but other pain relief options were readily available for players, i.e. them pills. When I got to the league, there was opioid abuse, he said. You really could go into the training room and get what you wanted. I can get a Vicodin, I can get an oxycodone. It was too available. I used Percocet and stuff like that, and I did not like the way it made me feel. I had my preferred choice of medicine, cannabis. Johnson, who shocked the NFL world when he retired after just 9 seasons in 2015, said there was a very strong possibility he would have played longer if the Lions were a contender. Not really 6-time Pro Bowl selection responded when asked by Rosenberg whether it was a coincidence both he and Hall of Fame running back Barry Sanders retired at age 30 as members of the Lions. So he's saying not really that's a coincidence. So Calvin Johnson is 33 now. I showed a picture of his fingers. You remember how Torrey Holt's fingers look?
Mm-hmm. All beat up and broken and
Figured. Yeah, that's how Calvin Johnson's fingers look like. They just throwing up gang signs by themselves, because they all you know what I'm saying, they all out of place and all kind of messed up. But think about what he's saying, and let's think about like the opioid abuse of athletes. And you know, we've seen stories, we've seen documentaries, we read things about in the long run how you have athletes who ex-NFL athletes, to be more specific, who can't function in life without the abuse of these pills because of what they went through in the league just to fit in and stuff like that. Like, this some bullshit. Like, you can't be doing this shit, man.
Yeah, and the long term abuse, you know, that it turns into even after the game is done for you. You know what I mean? You know, dealing with lifelong lingering pain and they're just popping pills like chiclets. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And for him to come out, for him to come out and make that admission, you know, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It kind of shed more light on for those of us who've been really paying attention to it, shed more light. But for a lot of people, it opens the door or it gets them aware of, well, damn. You know, some of these players do be smoking weed. Of course, that'll get people's attention, these players smoking weed, but also abuse of opioids, the use of opioids, and knowing what opioids do and how addictive their properties are, but they're shoved in players' faces and they're so available for players to just easily just go ahead and get you some of these pills and be fucked up for the rest of your life.
Yeah, man. It's not something, you know, I think a lot of those guys imagine could be a problem for them until they get on those pills, and they do, like, you imagine taking those kind of beatings every week, and let alone
right.
this man on the, like you said, he on the line, so it was trash anyway. So now
right, he's
like, you get whooped for nothing, retiring at 30, already addicted to pills before then. You know, smoking weed so you're not addicted to it. That's one of how many people who have been through the league and who, you know, had been taking them pills just so they could function on game day. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like,
because I remember, what's your boy name? Martellus Bennett talking about him smoking weed because he didn't want to do the opioid thing. And, like, basically, like, he would, you know, he would dry snitch it to somebody. A great percentage of the league smoke weed. That's something the NFL need to look into as more medicinal properties, but I don't think they will anytime soon because of their deal with the pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, come on. Well, what we just say, first of all, like you said, the NFL in the business of making money.
Right.
They in the business of making money first.
That's what they care about first and foremost, making money.
It's the entertainment business. If I got a product that I can provide to my players that's going to keep them numb to a point or whatever, they're going to keep them on the field on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, guess what? They'll deal with the consequences later. But in the meantime, I need y'all on the field.
Yeah, but even in that, like, the coaches, the owners, the teams don't really have to deal. Well, the owners do, in a sense, because the owners are the NFL. But the coaches and the teams and stuff really don't have to deal with the repercussions of the breakdown of the players' bodies long term, because it'd be the NFL who get the lawsuits, not the teams. Now the owners got to deal with it, but you know that's why they got their insurance money.
Mm-hmm.
So they ready for that shit. So
man,
I mean,
their job to keep the product on the field, man. Keep the product on the field. Y'all take these pills. They're gonna keep you on the field, not knowing. But not telling you. It's going. You're probably gonna be addicted to this. You're probably gonna be addicted to that.
Right.
But I need you on the field.
You're gonna be in your mid-30s. Your hips don't work. Your back don't work. Your knees don't work. So I need you on the field right now. So it kind of make you look sideways at these old school players who still are brainwashed or still have that mindset, that conditioning to, like, man, you know, you got to go out there and you got to be tough. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's like, man, what y'all got to understand, once again, these players got more access and they're more access to information. They're more business savvy nowadays. I'm not going to do to try to prove my manhood and be fucked up like y'all.
But they got CTE, bro.
Right. It's rampant. It's rampant. Think about what was going on before we even knew what CTE was.
Man, listen, man. It's yeah. Like you said, once you know better, man, once you know better and you got the access to the information, it's like, okay, now you have to start making the decision about the second half of your life. Because generally, some guys be out of the league by their mid-30s. That's why I applaud Calvin Johnson. I applaud the Andrew Lux and them guys like that for making a decision about, all right, man, listen, I'm young enough to know I still got a lot of life to live. I ain't trying to be stuck on these pills the rest of my life. These guys got whole families they want to spend time with. And, you know, popping pills ain't one of the things I'm trying to be doing just so I can right. have a regular day.
Right. That's stupid. That's real stupid. So I'm not finna, really not finna kill myself like that for y'all fuckers.
No, man.
That ain't happening, man. But you know, just giving our perspectives on what's going on with the peace with Calvin Johnson, marijuana use, and opioid use within the NFL and, you know, professional sports. Because, you know, like the movie Any Given Sunday gave us a behind-the-scenes view of some of the realities of the NFL that we kind of see are playing out over the years now that we got access to social media and all these other realms of receiving information. So that's what it is. Yeah. But, you know, real quick, want to give you a rundown, update on week four of college football and week three of the NFL. So, in week four, and you know, some of the games we got to comment on. Definitely got to comment on that Florida State game.
No, we don't.
Fan, you won, so we got to talk about that. Florida won, Miami won, so let's kind of go through it. But USC, what was crazy, I was going through my phone the other day, and because I have the Yahoo News with the Yahoo Sports, and it was like USC may have fucked up the Pac-12 chances of getting into the Big Dance or the playoffs, because USC beat Utah, and Utah was supposed to be, like, I guess, the top choice to come for the Pac-12. To represent in the playoffs of some sort. And I was like, well, that's why the Pac-12 trash right there.
Right.
Upset of USC over Utah, bitch.
Utah, yeah.
Yeah, hell on, bitch. But scoring that game with 30-23, USC took that. Boise State still out here winning. I don't know how, but they still out here winning. They beat Air Force 30-19. Michigan got their ass whooped by Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh.
They got that drug. So
I was excited to see that game.
But I missed running because I had to work. I had to work too. So by the time I got to the house, I came in. I checked the Alabama game. I saw Alabama was dragging them boys. I saw the Florida game. I saw Florida was beginning to drag them boys. Then I went to Michigan and got down Wisconsin. And that'd be with 35-0 at that time.
That game made me mad. I was excited to see it, too. I was like, oh, it's going to be a good one. Well, nope. Michigan forgot they had a game.
But you remember, though, week one, Michigan almost lost the goddamn who the team was? Oh, Army? Yeah, Army. They almost lost to Army in that weak-ass triple option.
Oh, yeah. They were running the dog on the board.
Yeah, man. So, but Michigan has always been suspect like that, especially Michigan been suspect like that for a while, but especially under this Harbaugh era, like they've been real, very, real, real suspect, man. And then Wisconsin boys just ran all through their ass.
Yeah, they did. So, they handled it. They handled the business. That wasn't no game, man.
So them damn Gators, they continue their winning streak. They beat Tennessee. They supposed to beat Tennessee, but they beat them boys 34-3. Tennessee out here looking garbage. Creamsicle body ass boy. California beat Mississippi. Cal beat Mississippi 28-20. Michigan State beat Northwestern 31-10. LSU and their new look offense with their quarterback throwing 6 touchdowns beat Vanderbilt 66-38. So LSU and Auburn looked at what Bama was doing with Tua and said, fuck this shit. we got to get out of these 1975 offenses and crank this shit up and score some points.
Got to.
Cause with them, man, them three teams and Florida get that shit together. Like Florida, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Auburn. If they got quarterbacks, they not losing. Cause they, you know, their defense gonna be good. But if they got quarterbacks and some athletes who can catch the ball and do something with, they not losing at all. You can throw Clemson in there as well.
I would say, don't forget about Clemson. Clemson got the stick right now. I mean, they haven't been showing the best, but they got the stick.
Yeah. Clemson's bad motherfuckers over that way. But quarterback for LSU, they've been through six touchdowns, man. So, Tua led Alabama over Southern Miss 49-7. BYU lost to Washington. Glad them BYU be out there pretending every year like they're supposed to be. So, I got their ass whooped by Washington 45-19. Ohio State drove they nuts over Miami of Ohio 70-65. Auburn with their new look offense. With their freshman quarterback, they beat Texas A&M 28-20. And you know, a lot of FSU people tell me, tell Jimbo we 2-2 as well. I like that's funny. That's funny. Man. It's at y'all last time.
Don't get me started.
Pitt upset you at UCF 35-34. But UCF did. But they should. You can't be in a situation where you got to come back on these teams. You got to get up on these teams, get up on them early. So, Oregon beat Stanford 21-6. Virginia beat Old Dominion 28-17. Texas beat Oklahoma State 36-30. Texas should have beat them boys better than that, but nevertheless they got the victory. Clemson drew their nuts over Charlotte 52-10. Notre Dame lost to Georgia, which they should have. 23-17, Nebraska beat Illinois 42-38, Nevada over UTEP 37-21, Fresno State over Sacramento 34-20, Colorado beat Arizona State. Damn, my dog Herman Edwards. I want Herman Edwards to ball out, man. But they lost 34-31. Toledo beat Colorado State 41-35. Utah State beat San Diego State 23-17. Hawaii beat Central Arkansas 35-16. And UCLA beat Washington State 67-63. And like we say, FAMU won too. FAMU beat Southern. I told people FAMU could beat Southern, so FAMU beat Southern 27-21. What was that Florida State score?
35-something. I don't know, man. I was too mad.
But yeah, the Florida. See, Florida State. Yeah, they 35-24 over Louisville. So Florida State went up what 31 or 21 to something. 30 points at the half.
21. We started 21-0. It was 21-0. And so
it went into the half 21-7.
Oh, God.
And then Louisville scored 10 points in the third quarter, 7 points in the fourth quarter, but Florida State was able to score 14 points in the fourth quarter to help them seal their victory. But come on with the second half shits, though. Come on now.
Bro, we have yet to play, for anybody who don't know, I'm a diehard Florida State fan. Diehard. Like, I'm crazy about Florida State, but that's another story. Man, we have yet to play a full, complete game. They've been starting out strong. Every game this season, they start out strong and forget how to play football in the second half. I go from the coaches to the players. The whole second half, they forget everything they did the first half, and they forget about it the second half.
Right.
It's ridiculous to watch.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. It is, but the sad thing, I guess the sad but good thing is they still playing better than last year at this point. I kind of feel like Florida State is playing with inferior players or players that may not be as intelligent. I don't know. I like their receivers. I like the offense, but Can't we trust the defense?
But here's the reality, and I had this conversation with a buddy of mine. I said, Florida State, you know, we know for as long as we've been alive, you know, we've always seen like perennial Florida State teams, like with elite players. A lot of these guys just not that good.
Like, they not.
You know, and no disrespect, like they might be good players like somewhere else, but you're talking about Florida State, like a team that's always they've always been in the mix when it comes down to competing for a title. Or you had to come through there at some point. These guys just not that good. Some of these guys just not that good.
Stanford Samuels played just like his daddy. Not good.
Hey, man. Some of these guys just not that good, bro. I keep trying to make excuses. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Man, these guys ain't that good, man.
Man, because I hate this.
Everybody can't be Deion. I get it. Everybody can't be Peter Ward. Everybody can't be Ward Dunn. Some of these guys just not that good.
But I mean, yeah, because like I keep telling people, they're so hard on Willie Tiger. But at the end of the day, man, the players got to make the decision whether they want to come out here and beat the person in front of them or not. Like a lot of these players, they getting their ass whooped by the man in front of them. That's just really what's happening. Oh, yeah. And at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Like you can know exactly the player I'm running. But if I got your heart and I'm just better than you, and you can't stop me,
yep.
Who cares if that you know what player I'm running? Because you can't stop me.
Yep.
So
yeah, true.
I mean, but that's what it is with Florida State. They just got the players have to want it better. And yes, coaching, some better players and stuff need to be called on some things. I still don't like the offense, but Florida State, at the end of the day, the players got to choose to play better. And if they don't,
yeah,
well.
I hate the offense, but yeah, you're right. You're absolutely 100% right, my boy.
Right. So give you a rundown on week three of the NFL. The Jaguars beat the Titans 20-17, and you know Jaguars got that got this young quarterback who everybody like Minshew, Gardner, what name Gardner Minshew. So Gardner went, yeah, oh, Ginsu face that boy, but Leonard Fournette out there not looking like Leonard Fournette in college, but
he hasn't translated just yet.
So Minshew went 20-for-30. He had 204 yards, 2 touchdowns. But the Jaguars got a 20-7 victory over the Titans. We don't really expect too much from the Titans. We just like to see Derrick Henry run, really.
That's
hey man, can we say Cowboy Nation? We're going to the Super Bowl.
Woo! The boys looking mean, man.
We 3-0. We drug our nuts over the Dolphins, what we were supposed to do. So that's good that we did what we were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So 31-6 was the final score in this game. Let me give you some Cowboy stats for the Dolphins. Dak Prescott went 19-for-32, 264 yards, 2 touchdowns in the pick. Zeke, 19 carries, 125 yards. Tony Pollard had 13 carries for 103 yards, touchdown. Dak had 2 carries, 7 yards, and a touchdown. Amari had 6 catches, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jason Witten, the old ass, had 3 receptions, 54 yards. Devin Smith had 2-for-39. So, you know, we did what we were supposed to do, man. We came out there, got our victory over the Dolphins, and drug our nuts on the board. So, Dolphins, go back to your house. The Bills beat the Bengals 21-17. The Lions beat the Eagles 27-24. They should have beat the Eagles because the Eagles dealing with some injuries. The Patriots out there. They ain't miss a beat with that Antonio ass. And we're going to get on Antonio dumb ass later, but they ain't miss a beat. Them boy, they beat.
Nothing.
Man, at one point, the Patriots had more points than the total yards. They had more points than the Jets had total yards at one point in the game.
Hey,
so,
man.
30-14 is the score for the Patriots over the Jets. The Colts beat the Falcons 27-24. Hey, man, y'all better look at that boy Brissett. I ain't saying he top five, but that boy Brissett ain't trash, though.
Oh, man. Come on now.
The Vikings beat the Raiders like they're supposed to, 34-14. The Chiefs beat the Ravens 33-28. And that boy Lamar Jackson, he went 22 for 43, 267 yards. It wasn't his greatest, but, you know, he had 267. Lamar's playing a whole lot better than people expected him to.
Man, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
He's of course he can improve as a passer, but he's playing a whole lot better as a quarterback than we would expect. That boy Mark Ingram, formerly of the New Orleans Saints with the Ravens, now 16 carries, 103 yards, 3 touchdowns. So let's see what Mahomes did real quick. Mahomes went 27-37, 374 yards, 3 touchdowns. LeSean McCoy got him a touchdown. That happened. 33-28 is the Chiefs over the Ravens. The Packers beat the Broncos like they were supposed to, 27-16. The Panthers pull out a victory over the Cardinals. Well, they played the Cardinals. They're supposed to beat the Cardinals. But is Cam Newton hurt?
I think Cam hurt, but also Cam looked real disinterested, so I don't know.
So he went vegan for nothing.
Right. Cam, that ain't the Cam we know, man. If you watch them play, that ain't the Cam we know, man.
He might need a change of scenery.
Yeah, that could be it too. Something don't look right.
Yeah, but you know they played the Cardinals. To me, right now, the Cardinals are the team that everybody's supposed to get a victory on, because for one, you hired Cliff Kingsbury from Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury had a losing record as a coach at Texas Tech in the Big 12.
Right.
At a conference where they preached not playing defense. And then you draft Kyler Murray can spin it. He has an arm. He can throw that thing. But when I see Kyler Murray, I don't necessarily see NFL quarterback. I see skill sets, but I don't necessarily see the full package of NFL quarterback. Maybe he'll prove me wrong in the long run, but for right now, it ain't working out. So the Cardinals are 0-3. Or actually, the Cardinals are 0-2-1. So they still yeah, that's trash. So Kyler Murray.
Ain't no need even sugarcoat coded.
Right. Yeah. So Murray went 30 for 43, 173 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. So but the Panthers pick up victory over the Cardinals. The Giants beat the Buccaneers. The Saints, I was watching that game. Alvin Kamara looked good in that game, boy. The Saints beat the Seahawks 33-27. And the Seahawks should have won that game because you're playing a team with no Drew Brees and you got Russell Wilson. So the Seahawks, bullshit.
I don't know, man. We ain't gonna sleep on Teddy Bridge now.
That true, but come on, Russell. That's Russell Wilson and that team got a little better chemistry and things going, and Russell Wilson, the better quarterback.
You're right. Bridge.
I mean, the bridge ain't over, but. So.
You know. Yeah, I feel you. He ain't been on the field in like 2 years, so yeah.
Right. That boy Deshaun Watson continued to lead his team to victories. They got the 27-20 win over the Chargers, who the Chargers should be playing better than what they are, but they did play the Texans, who ain't no slouch. So shout out to D-Hop. Shout out to Watson. The 49ers beat the Steelers 24-20. Right now, the Sunday night football game going on. You got the Browns and the Rams. The Browns up 13-10 right now. Then Monday night football game, you got the Bears and the Redskins. Go Bears. Fuck the Redskins. Ugly ass
pants.
Pretty much. Ugly ass pants. All right, man. So let's get to this pre-rant warm-up. Go ahead and get our vocal cords ready to rant on some dumb shit. But there was a high school swimmer. I guess she's like a black girl or she's mixed. And she was disqualified over the fit of her swimsuit. The judge is talking about too much of her booty cheeks was exposed. But the girl was wearing a school-issued swimsuit. So let me read some of this information. And we discuss it. So, a disqualification of a state championship swimmer during a high school swim meet in Anchorage, Alaska, Friday has turned into a tense dispute over the fit of athletes' swimsuits. This after one of Diamond's competitive racers suddenly found herself disqualified from the heat she'd already won. Now, she won the shit now. Sidelined by a referee who deemed the team's team issue uniform to be in violation of the rules. So if we find that this was an error in judgment by an official, we're going to definitely ensure that there are steps in place so that it doesn't happen again, said Kirsten Johnson Strumpler, senior director of secondary education at Anchorage School District. Fuck, that shit needs some immediate stuff. So Strumpler would not give a timeline for the district's investigation, but said it had begun over the weekend after an article critical of the disqualification came out. Critical of the disqualification call became widely circulated. Yeah, everybody talking about it tonight. Lauren Langford, a lifelong swimmer, director of YMCA Aquatics, and coach for West High School swim team, published an account of the incident on Medium.com over the weekend. It's saying the perception is that a victory was stolen unnecessarily, Langford said. Langford believes the student athlete, 17-year-old Brecken Willis, is being punished for her athletic physique, a combination of genetics and years of training to gain strength and speed. The rest of the team were wearing the same uniform, and she was the only one disqualified, Langford said. It is my opinion that she has been targeted and singled out over the course of this last year, and I did hear something about that. I saw a video the other day was saying this young lady, the particularly young lady who was disqualified, and her sister have had issues with this potential judge or referee the whole year. During the 2018-2019 school year, Willis's younger sister, which I'm reading now, Dreamer Kowach, who was also a competitive swimmer, had a run-in with the same referee. The ref openly critiqued her suits, fit during the meet. The girl's mother, Megan, told the news channel Monday that her fast swimming daughters should be gaining attention for their performance and skill, not for the fit of their swimsuits. So, in August, the National Federation of State High School Associations notified coaches across the nation about a rule change that allows for the disqualification of an athlete if your uniform is not within guidelines and the change of attire would delay the race. So they're saying Brecken's disqualification came after she'd won and before she got to go on to compete with the team in a relay event in the same swimsuit the same night. The Diamond Girls won the match with no penalties. Alaska School Activities Association published in the NHFS letter and accompanying resources on its website, including an illustrated graphic showing appropriate and inappropriate suit coverage for male and female athletes under what's known as the modesty rule. The national organization sets the rules, and then local sporting associations have some flexibility to determine implementation, yada, 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 yada. So we got these two young girls who, for the year, they have proof that they've been targeted by the specific referee for the shapes of their bodies and potentially how they swimsuits may or may not fit to show their buttocks. So, that when you hear this, do you think racism got something to do with it? Do you think sexism, any ism, or people could be overreacting?
I want to say yes, but I think it's more. I think it's an intimidation thing. Like they intimidated by you, intimidated by somebody's body type, like their body type in it. If it's a standard uniform, right? It's a standard school issue uniform.
Standard school issue uniform. Everybody on the team wearing the same uniform.
That's first of all, if it's a standard school issue uniform, right? It's no different. Right. All the uniforms are the same. Mine doesn't fit the same. So, I guess honestly, I mean, it's gonna sound weird, and I hate to sound like a millennial, but it sounds like they're being body shamed.
Yeah. It do sound like they've been being body shamed. I'm looking at a picture of the young lady. She looks mixed. So race could have something to do with it. Her sister doesn't look mixed. Her sister have different names. They have different last names.
Uh-huh.
Willis and Kowach. Dreamer Kowach looks, from the picture, she looks like she's all white, looking at texture of hair, things like that. But then Brecken Willis she looks like she may be mixed. Now, I could be wrong, and I'm just looking at from what I see in this particular picture. But it's kind of weird for a woman. I would, as I'm in the middle of saying this, I'm reminding myself how stupid adults are. But it's kind of weird that a young high school girl would be body shamed by a grown ass woman. But then this is America.
Yeah, like we have. They looking like the typical, and I'm using air quotes, typical body type to fit in a swimming outfit, like a swimming leotard, right? They're probably not shaped like that, so they used to that, you know, slender, flat buttocks, small. They probably just don't fit in that right. mold that they used to seeing. So that's why I say body shaming, because it's not right. what they used to seeing.
Right. So I guess I see another picture. I'm looking at another picture of them closer up. So it looks like ethnic wise or race wise, it look like both young ladies are white. Both sisters are white. That's what it looks like. So looking at this, just from going off of this picture, we could take the race element out, and it would be more body shaming and kind of more of the sexism realm than the racism mm-hmm. realm. And yeah, but it's kind of weird for that to come from a woman, yeah. though.
Yeah.
You think about it, motherfuckers yeah. fucked up out there. These adults are stupid.
I wouldn't go that far. You know how we, as you know, the society can see one thing, right? And we'll have what one standard. We imagine what a quote unquote standard is. If it doesn't fit inside of that, something's not right about it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So she probably could see something like that. It's like, it's not what I'm used to seeing. So they say something's wrong with it. No, it's just not. Just not shaped like what you used to seeing.
Right, yeah, just she's not shaped like the regular white girl, but also,
I was trying not to.
I was looking at something. They were taking into account movement of the swimsuit because the girls, you know, moving through the water, and they ain't slow.
Right.
But it's sad that, you know, this lady took this drastic steps to, you know, go out of her way to make sure that this young lady is not only disqualified, but humiliated. And it's crazy. Like, adults be out here fucking up. Like, fuck these stupid-ass, dumb-ass, bitch-ass adults, man. These adults some bitches out here these days, and they wonder why these kids don't like their ass for dumb shit like this. Stupid-ass motherfuckers out here doing this. Maybe we should throw something at their asses, man.
Like, throw a book at them,
but it's like all right, so people keep wondering. These adults keep wondering why these kids don't respect their asses. Why should these kids respect these adults when these adults keep doing fuck shit like this? And then the adults who could do something about it are taking their time and doing something about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and
school,
all that's gonna do is create. It's just gonna create resentment. You know what I mean?
Right.
From kids towards them adults.
Like a school issued uniform, so that means these uniforms were approved by the school board.
This is what y'all gave me.
Right. The fuck. It ain't like the girl came in there with and ripped the shit off and had her own little thong up her ass. She went, what the hell the school gave her?
Yeah. Right. It, you know, all that does is kind of like remind me of the same way they do Serena when she come out of certain things. And she's showing too much. Like, no, Serena's not built like the rest of these women. So what she wearing is not going to look the same way it look on somebody else. This
right.
girl got the same uniform everybody else on her team got. She may be a bit curvier, but this is the uniform y'all gave her. Y'all didn't give her nothing else. This is what she was given. And now it's a problem. She didn't do. She didn't go out and customize it or nothing. She didn't go out and have it altered. And now it's a problem.
Right. It's like, I mean, hell, man, just because most of them girls up in Alaska got fannies, then this girl come out here, she look curvy. I mean, that doesn't mean she did anything wrong. She shouldn't have been disqualified for that. Like, that she just, I'm just pull this all up in my ass to make me swim faster. That girl ain't do that shit, man. Come on, man. Hey.
That's an official issue. Like, that's a problem
right.
With the officials not understanding, okay, not everybody fits in the same. Not everybody's molded the same. Not everybody built the same. Everybody's wearing is not going to fit the same.
This is in the same realm of that bitch-ass referee who made the little black boy cut his dreads for the wrestling match. It's in the same realm.
Yeah.
I just saw they
gave him a 2-year suspension.
Yeah, that bitch should be banned from refereeing. That bitch should be banned from talking to kids ever again in his life, bitch. So, but yeah, man, just, you know what I'm saying, kind of get our muscles and stuff flexed and warmed up for this rant, because, you know, it's time for that weekly rant. Yeah. I was an R&B singer back in my past life.
After eight, man.
I know, right, man? So, we got a former NFL player who pulled that Jesse Smollett. But he faked the hate crime that happened to him. And I was looking at it, I was like, we got to get on his ass. We got to let him have it. It's funny because, like, in the pictures, he looking crazy. But he's faking the hate crime. So that's the first part of this rant. And then the second part, we got to get on Antonio Brown. We got to let Antonio Brown crazy ass have it, because Antonio out here tripping. But so. Hold on. All right. Come on now. Work with me. There we go. All right. So, a former NFL player allegedly created a fake hate crime at his Georgia business in which he claimed burglars spray painted racial slurs, swastikas, and MAGA at his bakery. So, nigga named Edwin Lewis Kaufman.
Edwin.
Edon. Excuse me. I read that wrong. Edon. That boy named capital E D W A N. Boy, you know you was doing to do some dumb shit. Your name Edon.
Oh boy.
Edon Lewis Kaufman. That's a hell of a name, boy. So he was arrested Thursday on charges of filing a false report of a crime, insurance fraud, and concealing a license plate, as he told police a burglar was responsible for spray painting racist language and imagery on the walls of his bakery, according to Gwinnett County Police. It appears as though Edon conjured a premeditated plan to damage his own property, attempt to make it appear as a hate crime, file a claim with his insurance company, and sell the undamaged appliances and electronics. So that's what the police said. Photos are taken by police at the scene show spray-painted words and images, including the N-word and the swastika and MAGA, an abbreviated version of, you know, Make America Great Again, yada, yada, yada. So police said that they were called for a burglary report at Kaufman's business. The business is Create and Bake Restaurant and Kaufman's Creamery. So he got two businesses, Create and Bake Restaurant and Kaufman's Creamery, and that's in the Atlanta suburb. So the 911 caller told police that someone was driving a black Chevrolet Silverado with no license plate. When officers arrived to the shopping center, they stopped the truck matching the description and saw Kaufman driving the Silverado. That man's still in the car. So it appeared that Kaufman had several televisions in the back of the truck with mounting brackets on the back wall with damaged drywall attached, police said. Officers saw the back door of the bakery had yellow pry marks, and so the graffiti on the walls was still wet from the paint. And the dumbass still had the yellow crowbar still with him. He had the yellow crowbar with him. He had the tag of the car still with him. He had the spray paint bottles and stuff with him. So Several booth cushions were sliced open. The Gwinnett County Police said they also found broken mirrors, cut wires, and damaged video surveillance system. A Coleman told police that he saw the damage earlier in the day and called his insurance company, but not the police. Boy, shut up, boy. Shut up, boy. Shut up, boy.
Man, what is wrong with these guys, man?
He broke his hair. He tired of sucking dick for a living, so he tried to do something else. So, it said investigators found that the incident occurred much later than the former player alleged, because you got to hear the story, because it's crazy. So, a search warrant on Cobb in Silverado found a yellow crowbar, like I said, in cans of black spray paint in the truck with his dumb ass. Coleman never played in a regular season game in the NFL, but yada, yada, yada. But the motherfucker still had the evidence on his dumb ass after he go and call the police. Well, he called the police or whatever. The police and stuff showed up after he called the insurance company because he's trying to get some money. Coleman, you a dumb fuck.
Hey, man. Bruh. Times are hard out here, apparently.
Times are. Hey, it's hard out here for pimps, dumbasses, and everything else you want to come in between.
My goodness.
Hey, so if Coach Hendricks, let's say Coleman was played well at Rutgers and Coach Hendricks heard about it, how you think Coach Hendricks is telling me he's stupid? You dumb fuck waste of a sperm bitch, boy.
Hey, man.
The fuck you doing getting caught with him? Your mother should have swallowed.
Hey, man. Hey, listen. Sometimes I think we give people too much credit for having common sense, bro. And this probably is one of them guys that was like, you know, even just hearing the story, it don't sound like something that's real. You know what I mean?
Bro, this is one of them stories. If you his daddy, you'd be like, damn, I wish I would have just jacked off that night. Oh, I ain't just jacked off that night. Just one time I could have jacked off. And I'd have been straight, but nah, I got to deal with this motherfucker. If this motherfucker wanna Jesse Smollett himself.
Yeah,
like for real, bro.
You just saw this play out.
You just saw it for somebody who got way more money than you.
It's
time for Coleman to let his dreads go.
Man, listen. It sounds like that's what gave him the idea.
Hey, he probably did. He probably was sitting there watching that Dave Chappelle shit and say, Jesse Smollett, let me go study this shit some more. He went to study this Jesse Smollett shit. You know what? He probably was like, you know what he went wrong with? Hiring them damn Nigerians. I'm going to do this shit by myself. And the most brilliant part of this shit, gonna be called, I'm going to take my license plate off. They ain't going to never find me with no license. I'm invisible with no license plate.
The thought process alone was bad.
Bruh, like, if you can see Buddy's picture, Buddy looked like, damn, my license plate shit didn't work. Like, he looked like he the look on his face is like, he seriously expected this shit to really work. And,
like,
straight up, damn, fam, not like he messed up. That's not what he looked like. He don't have to look like, damn, I fucked up. He looking like, damn, why y'all caught me? Yeah, Randy gonna tell me to do this. Fuck Randy. When I get out of Randy or something, gonna tell me to do this dumb ass plan, man. No, I ain't smart.
Yeah. I don't get it, man.
Like, boy, shut your dumb ass up. Well, when I saw this story, man, I didn't believe it was true until I had to look at several sources and kind of read things. Like, my buddy thought that he ain't spray nigger on his cops. He sprayed nigger. He sprayed swastikas, he put MAGA, all this shit here. But then you keep the cans. This fuck boy, he kept the spray cans with him. And you can tell the cans had recently been used.
Hey, man.
Bruh.
Well, I just tell you, we give people too much credit for having common sense when they don't have it. That, listen, the whole thought process was bad. And he like, you
this
know, he probably
stupid.
Still confused.
he probably like, he's sitting down, damn, dog.
Where did I go wrong?
Yeah. Being born, bitch, that's where you went wrong, bitch. Being born. Dumbass with that weak-ass locks and that weak-ass edge you got. You need to let that shit go, boy.
Hey, man. You're going to have to soon, though.
But you know you were doomed for failure when your parent named you Edon. Don. Like, not like Edon, like with some African twist or some, you know, some cultural some cultural black stuff, whatever, but Edwan, like Don Soap or Don girl name, or like, boy, your life was determined to be fucked up, boy.
Yeah, Edon,
your ass to a new life and a new hairstyle, you dumbass, boy. That's why your ass got caught, and your ass get what you get, boy. Fake ass Jesse Smollett, you ain't even do it. You ain't, man. Hell, one of the bad parts about this, he had opportunity to learn how to do his shit better, and the motherfucker still came out fucked up. Like, he didn't even last, at least Jesse last a couple of weeks. This motherfucker didn't even last 5 hours.
Hey, Jesse gave you game film so you could figure out how to do it right. And you,
man, this nigga, he do it all wrong. Cooch ass, man.
You fell.
You coochie boy. Man, but fuck you, Edon. Enough of him. Let's talk about this Antonio. This Antonio Brown, man. Man, like, I'm at work. I'm at work Friday, and the homie at work was like, man, they released Antonio Brown. He sold me the thing. I was like, man, let me verify this. Look at that, all the sources. Yeah, so apparently he was accused by a second woman of sexual assault, and he sent a string of threatening text messages to the woman after he was told not to contact her. So that's basically why he got cut, because he was threatening the woman through text message.
Right.
So
after they told you,
what type of Molly is he smoking?
Ego.
Like. So, I mean, I thought he was crazy. I didn't think he was stupid. I thought he was crazy. I thought he was mildly or at least halfway illiterate. I did think that, because, you know, punctuation don't mean shit to him. Like, punctuation don't mean shit. That's why, like, no, last week when I was talking about it, but there's those series of tweets that he sent out to the young girl, and the first one was like, I jacked my dick on your back, and then that exclamation point on it. So, like, just knowing the way, like, hood niggas be talking, and just knowing the way, or also being bamboozled by his lack of grammar, it didn't come off to me as if he was admitting that he got the dick on the back. It was like, man, he was saying, I jacked my dick on your back. You know, but now, you know what I'm saying? He just forgot to put a question mark. He put an exclamation point. He forgot to put the question. But now with this fool, that girl might be just dumb as hell, and he might be dumb as hell too, that he actually probably did sit there and jack off on that girl back or something like that. But why she didn't move is like, you can't hit nobody jack it off behind you, but that's a whole nother thing. But really though, like, you really gonna mess this up, Tonio? Like, now your ass get no money.
Man, listen. Nothing. They probably pay one game check?
Yeah.
But now, well, go ahead. I'll let you finish it now.
But no, dog, this is upward to about $50-60 million he done gave up within the last month.
Within the last month, bro. Like, because of his own actions, though. Because of his own actions, bro. And I know when we talked about initially, he was like, well, we got to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt because we don't know, you know, all the nuances that might have been happening.
All the details.
Yeah, between him and the team. Fair enough. You know, I think I succeed to that, but you know, when you go and do okay, the Patriots, like I told you initially, the Patriots were probably one of the very few teams who's gonna give him an opportunity after he left Oakland.
Yeah.
But they're gonna keep him on a short leash. And the Patriots say,
well,
one
of
thing,
course.
Yeah. And they should though, right?
You do some Antonio Brown shit, your ass is cut, and guess what he did?
Antonio Brown. He did it. Like clockwork. Like clockwork. One day.
All you had to do is be cool. Because, like, to me, he wasn't really going to receive real punishment for the first case because the way it went about being handled with the young lady, not even making it a criminal matter, but going straight for the money.
But then
you get a second accuser. So the second accuser probably would have raised some red flags or made him end up on a commissioner's exempt list or something like that or whatever. But it's like you go and you send out them text messages to the chick trying to be hard and then threatening her, and now your dumb ass ain't on the team no more. So it's like, he may be done for this season. I don't think he's done forever, but he may be done for this season. I think it's more than likely he's done for this season.
Did you see today where he said he was done with the NFL?
I did see that, but we know motherfuckers be talking too, so. I personally don't believe him that he's done with the NFL, but he's stupid though. I mean, so he might know he's done with NFL because he's dumb as shit. So he probably just don't plan on being smart in life.
The Hicksville say they don't want him either.
I mean,
I think Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown's biggest enemy. Like
he is right now, as of right now.
Yeah, he's his biggest hurdle. Because, you know, Antonio Brown going to do what Antonio Brown going to do. Fair enough. You a grown man. You entitled to do that. But you also in an industry where, you know, these owners, they're not in a position to keep you if they say one thing. First of all, you got two pending accusations on you right now. And they ain't just you know what I mean? They ain't just some speeding tickets. We're talking about sexual assault, sexual abuse, alleged sexual abuse and stuff like that, accusations. These ain't just some fly-by-night stuff. So these are serious accusations. So they already, like, taking a chance on you, and they telling you, like, listen, man, just be cool. You know, don't do this, don't do that. But Antonio Brown want to get on Twitter. He want to get on all his social media stuff. He put everything in the media.
But the thing about it is, like, I didn't even realize I followed him, or I forgot I followed him on Instagram, but the motherfucker acting like he ain't do nothing wrong. He's a victim. In this particular situation, let me go to it, right? Let me pull up this. Yeah. Cause it's like in the first accusation, you know, he got some arguments, but in the second one, like you caused this upon yourself. Like he has to learn how to be accountable for the things that he messed up. Like you was a dick in Pittsburgh, that's why you're not there. You was a dick in Oakland, that's why you're not there. Even though I'm not mad at you for making things happen for yourself and getting out of Oakland, I'm not mad at that, but. Mm-hmm. You being a dick, you being a dumbass and a dick is why you're not playing right now. You could have had about 2-3 more touchdowns against the goddamn Jets today, but nah. And it's like, and it's kind of funny and ironic because he's going to file a grievance against the league talking about double standards. There are other guys, he's saying there are other guys in similar situations who got a better, more chances and a better deal. He's also citing that, you know, Robert Kraft is able to get jacked off by potentially, allegedly, or potentially get jacked off by some minors in the bathhouse and have the money to suppress the tape. So he has a point in that, because Robert Kraft has no room to say anything about anything in this, because, you know, he potentially, like I said, was getting jacked off by some minors allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we, you know, I did some reporting on this, but actually have the money to suppress some of the information. So AB does have a point in that, but AD don't have a point. And bitch, you caused this on yourself though. Who told you to send the text message?
Yeah, but let me put this this curse in there. He also made that statement after playing for Robert Kraft.
Yeah, he did. He did.
You know what I mean? You made this statement after the fact.
Right.
So if that sentiment was there prior to that, why make it now?
I could be wrong, but I feel like he thought New England, he thought with that being out there in the opening, that would be a something that could help shield him or cloud an umbrella over him to kind of help, because hell, you got them on out here tricking and shit. So, but
yeah, and that's why I said, why you bring it up now though? You felt like that then.
He a dumbass. That's why he a fucking loose cannon, a dumbass, and somebody you can't really trust at this point. Like to be such a talent, the motherfucker is. The bitch can't read. His grandma and all that. I bet you that motherfucker, when he reading something, he probably have his finger there underlining. He be the cat. He probably read. He one of the motherfuckers in class, when he get up to read, everybody get mad. Like, God damn. You already know what
Antonio
it is.
It's Antonio turn to read.
Hey, he be ready to fight after class, and everybody getting on his ass. Yo, not reading that. You ain't catch football. Jack can't read. But come on, man.
It's not a good look, man.
It's fucking disgraceful, because especially with all the other stuff that he had going on with him. All the other stuff now I didn't mind it. I like troublemakers. I like people who disrupt shit. But have a end game. Be a rebel with a cause. Don't just be out there just doing dumb shit and then piling dumb shit on top of dumb shit on top of dumb shit while doing dumb shit and getting mad because you got caught doing dumb shit.
That's why it's hard for me to respect. You know what I mean? Like you said, this guy is an amazing talent, man. This guy's amazing talent. Like, you know, he arguably one of the best we've ever seen. I give him that much credit. He's an amazing talent. But, you know, talent is one thing. You know, being able to sustain yourself in the league and keep your actions intact, all that stuff is something different. You can be good. You can be as good as they come. But if you can't handle your business, if you can't handle your business, and all of these guys giving you these opportunities, and you can't do that much, man.
Get your ass out of the league, stupid.
It ain't even worth the risk to have you on the team.
Well, I mean, because the Patriots had to release him because of this. Now we do know
they had no other choice.
Right. It's just optics and stuff. Now we do know that he hasn't done anything criminal. He hasn't been caught or charged doing anything criminally bad enough for him to not ever play in the league again. So that's why I don't think, because we've seen shit. Dante Stallworth killed the motherfucker while he was drunk driving.
Yeah, true that.
So we've seen the league accept people back for doing worse, but it's just. He's fucked this stuff up for right now. He's fucked his money up. He's showing how much of an asshole he truly is. Yes, Antonio, you are a fucking asshole, and you need your ass whooped for the asshole shit that you're doing. And you need to stop. First of all, stop cutting that dumbass patterns in your head. That shit whack. That ugly ass mustache you got. Let that go. like the time and attention and dedication that you put into your body and catching football, put that shit into reading and actually making smart, coherent thoughts and shit that can help enhance your brand rather than doing dumb shit that's going to break your brand down, because you're making the state of Florida look bad, you're making black men look bad, you're making black football players look bad, black wide receivers look bad, because think about it. Every time they talk about the diva receiver, how many white boys divas?
Never seen it.
Don't know. Most of the receivers who are divas, and not saying that being a diva is a bad thing, but you can't be a diva and a dumbass and make it detrimental to your career and your team and all this shit here, because you know, he still hurt the fucking team. He still hurt his teams. You hurt Pittsburgh, hurt Oakland, you're hurting fucking goddamn New England and stuff. So you're a dumbass. Don't know no other way to say it.
Alright, I think, and then I don't know how much, you know, I think a lot of it too has to do with who. Well, I can't say that. I want to say, who does he have around him, right?
He clearly can't have the best people around him. But at the same time, he might just be that stupid too.
But that's what I was about to say. You know, I mean, sometimes you can have the right people around you, but you don't. I mean, you be so full of yourself, you don't hear none of it. Like, right. You hear what you want to hear, right? Some of them just hear what they want to hear. And he seems like the type, like, don't matter what nobody say, you know, at the end of the day is what Antonio feels, is what Antonio wants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's selfish, ego. He might have a narcissistic personality disorder or something.
Man, I don't know, man. That's it. This whole situation, first of all, it's been exhausting to keep up with, for one.
Yeah.
Every day it's another turn in the Antonio Brown saga. And,
yeah.
And we called it. I was like, bro, I don't know if he's gonna last in New England. When he went to New England, I was like, they're gonna give him a shot. But I didn't know how long it was gonna last.
I really didn't expect him to sabotage himself this early though. Like, god damn, bro, you ain't even last a week.
A week, bro. What was it? I think it was total 11 days, actually.
That's barely a week. Barely 2 weeks. In New England with Tom Brady balling right now. Bitch, he's throwing passes to Philip Dorsett. That could be you.
Hey, man. Edelman
got hurt today. So you know how many more balls he could have got targeted, bitch, dog. But think about it though. Think about this though, dog. Josh Gordon's still on the Patriots. So Josh Gordon been fucking up and still making better decisions than Antonio Brown.
That says a lot.
So we know this is a league of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth chances because Josh Gordon is still on the Patriots of all teams and stuff. But it's like, I don't know, man. Antonio, you might just need your ass whooped and get. I don't know. You probably just need your ass whooped. I don't know. You're a dumbass. Like, you're stupid. So, yeah. I don't know, man. But
I think he's finna get humbled. I think he really finna be humbled because I think Antonio Brown thinks the market for him is bigger than what it is.
I want to know, because I hear you, and I'm not ruling that out, but is his ego out of control where he's incapable of being humble? Because like somebody like a Donald, like, would you expect Donald Trump to ever be humble? You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm not saying that, like, Antonio is maybe not the narcissist that Donald Trump is, but I do kind of think that maybe Antonio Brown is a narcissist, and being a narcissist, he may be incapable of being humble because he's a fucking dumbass narcissist.
I think he can't when your salary or your money depends on it. Yeah. I think that's a fundamental difference between the Donald Trump and Antonio Brown.
Well, yeah, because you can't fuck with Donald money like you can fuck with Tony.
You can't, yeah, exactly. You
Donald could be Donald and could care less what anybody think about it, and it is not going to affect what his money, like what how he makes his money.
Yeah.
Antonio could do that and be like, well, I don't need you. The owners could be like, well, guess what? I don't need you.
Yeah. Yeah.
His performance is how he makes his money.
Yes. 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 Exactly. You're right. There's a difference between a boss and a worker. Antonio keep forgetting he's a worker.
He's a worker.
Yeah. So I guess we can end it like this. Antonio, do the world a favor. Pull your bottom lip over your head and swallow. You're going to keep doing this dumb shit you're doing. Take a deep gulp and swallow after you pull your lip over your head. Because, shit, we don't need you if you're going to be out here acting like this, man. Get your mind right, man.
You'll learn.
Hey, man. Once again, y'all, this is my homie, Doc Love, straight out the 850 out here riding with me. Holding it down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Man, I appreciate you rocking with me on this Fix Sports podcast. But before you go, dog, we got to send you off right like a real G, dog. I want everybody up in the studio artists to get up, put y'all hands together for my homeboy, Doc Love. Go ahead and make it happen on top of my head. That's what's up, man. We got to do this more often, man. This is fun.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, bro. You just let me know the word, man. I'm locked in with you, my boy.
Ain't no thing. One more time before you go, tell the people again how they can get at you on social media.
Hey, man, follow me on Instagram at DocLove850, DocLove850. You can also follow my business page, Ellery Intimates, ElloreIn. TIMATES. I had to slow down, but I was like, no,
I
can't spell.
So, hey, it'd be like that sometimes. It'd be like, shit, how you spell that shit?
Yeah, man. But
man, I ain't gonna, ain't no problem, man. I ain't gonna keep you on the line no longer. No, we both gotta get ready for an exciting week. I know it's gonna be a different week for me coming up. But man, appreciate you, bro. I love you, bro. And we definitely got to do this again, man.
Most definitely, all right, bro. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, once again, folks, that's Doc Love wrote with me. And you know what it is. I'm Joseph Ward right here on the Freak Sports Podcast right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. So, we came, we saw, we conquered, got through our topics, and we're here. So, I love everybody who support us. I just ask that you keep supporting me, keep riding with me. Everything that we got going on here at the Fix and everything that we're going on at the Freedom Train Network. So with that being said, man, got to get up out of here. If you miss him, I miss you too.
I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. Best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best.